Earlier this week, did you catch Four Corners on ABC One?
At 1:19 a.m, MH370 is cruising at 35,000 feet, a Boeing 777's optimal altitude. As it approaches Vietnam's airspace, exiting Malaysia's, controllers direct the pilot to make the routine switch to air traffic control in Ho Chi Minh City.
Malaysian 370, contact Ho Chi Minh 120.99.
Seconds later, a male voice inside the cockpit responds. This is the last time anyone will hear from MH370, a final goodbye from the doomed midnight flight. Within minutes, without notifying anyone on the ground, MH370 veers radically off its regular flight path to Beijing.
Four Corners on Monday, and now the first book on the missing plane, claims it was shot down by mistake in a military exercise, which seems far-fetched, doesn't it? But what about the search underwater? How hard is that proving to be? Professor Carrie Pacchieracci is Professor of Coastal Oceanography at the University of Western Australia. Well, the search has been going on for weeks now, and there's nothing much on the surface. What's it like down there deep, 4.5K on the bed of the ocean?
Well, the deep ocean is cold. It's got a lot of very high pressure, and it's dark. It's a sort of going inside your fridge and closing the door, but at about 500 times the pressure. The area that they are now looking at is the northern end of what we call the Wallaby Plateau. So what you actually have is about a 200-kilometre long plateau, which rises about 2.5 kilometres. So the surrounding seabed is about 5,000 metres, and this plateau comes out about 2,000 metres. And then the northern side, so it's actually on the slopes, the lower slopes of the northern side of the Wallaby Plateau, around about 4,000 metres. The depth changes quite a lot, maybe a kilometre or so. So if you go about another 50 kilometres to the north, there is a canyon which could be about 5,000 or 5,500 metres deep.
And you can search that deep with those devices, can you?
You can search, but it's very slow. You have to realise that it takes 2 or 3 hours to get down there and 2 or 3 hours to come back up. So it is a very slow process. And you can only map a certain amount at any given time. The other thing you have to remember is that to go down to those depths, you need very special vehicles to withstand the pressures. There's probably 5 vehicles in the whole world which can actually do that. So we are actually in the limit of our technical ability to be able to search at that particular depth. The interesting thing, when you actually look at the science, the mean depth of the ocean is about 4,000 metres. But we only have very few vehicles which can go even just to the mean depth of the ocean.
So presumably they've actually got a searchlight which will illuminate something that they can actually record and send back up.
No, the first thing they actually do is just like what you have here on an echo sounder on a boat, what we call it a multi-beam, so rather than looking directly below, it basically looks at either side, and it's just sonar. The thing with the sonar is that the area, usually the deep ocean, because we are far away from rivers, etc., mainly is biological material falling through the water column, so it's muddy, and so you can also analyze the reflection of the sound from the seabed. So you can distinguish between whether it's mud or whether it's metal.
And if they do find something, it's going to be a hell of a job trying to go down to retrieve anything, isn't it?
Well, it becomes even worse, because these vehicles are designed to maybe only bring up 100, 200 kilograms at one time. So, you know, we'll actually have to have a salvage operation where these vehicles will take lines down and tie it into the large things that they want to bring up, and then a ship will have to lift it up. Once they find it, they would have to make a decision which parts they're going to bring up. They're not going to be able to bring up the whole plane. So, like we know, the Titanic's at the bottom of the ocean, the Sydney's at the bottom of the ocean, they know the locations, but it's almost impossible to recover them. And there are other reasons to leave it down there as well. So I would imagine that on the first target is that they will only recover material which is only contributing to the investigation.
Is it easy to get the black box out of the craft?
Well, depending on how it is lying, etc., because these vehicles has arms which can be manipulated from the surface ship, and then so it can actually go and pick up because it's not that heavy. But very large items, you would have to do a salvage thing. Mm. But again, these ones can't move. I believe the black boxes are in the tail. So how difficult it is to get, they won't know till they actually see how it's lying. But encouragingly, they have found the pings. To be able to pick up the pings means that they are, let's say, in a location where it could be recoverable. So it's not buried, it's not tangled somewhere or things like that.
Have you ever operated yourself at those sorts of depths to look for whatever?
There is a program which is called Serpent. The idea of Serpent is that we liaise and collaborate with the oil companies. Every oil rig has one of these vehicles. So we use these vehicles from the oil rigs to understand and do research on the deep ocean. This area, as I said, is the Wallaby Plateau and the Abyssal Plain. So the deeper ocean beyond this is called the Wharton Basin. And that's the edge of the Gorgon project that Chevron is doing. So we have been working in that region and where we've gone down to 2,000 meters. And we've looked at the seabed, we've done experiments on the seabed, we measured currents on the seabed. Not exactly where the Wallaby Plateau is, but close to it. So at the shallower depths, there is a multitude of vehicles, but in the deeper, there is only very few.
Sounds like Mission Impossible, doesn't it?
Yes, it's sort of Mission Impossible, but it is the state of our capability as a science and a very slow process. People don't realize how slow doing anything in the ocean will be. Very time-consuming, a lot of patience.
Lots of patience, yes. Carrie Pacchiaracci is Professor of Coastal Oceanography at the University of Western Australia.